GoodSuccess.com. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to learn at your feet again today. Thank you because you have planned to reveal to us the fail-proof system of your kingdom, the secrets you have put in your word to make sure we can always walk in the path of success. And we ask today that, Lord, let nobody return back the same way. Show us that secret we've been waiting to know all our lives. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, we are prayed. Amen. Praise God. The topic is how to never fail again. Unveiling the three-dimensional fail-proof success system of the kingdom. We've been through the past series, the series on strategies for winning in business, a common sense biblical guide. We've been through that for 8 solid weeks, and I want to believe and I hope that everybody was actually blessed all these 3 weeks. I pray that nobody will return back the same way, even in this new series, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what is in this for us? How to never fail again. Unveiling the three-dimensional fail-proof success system of the kingdom. The topic is how to never fail again. Unveiling the three-dimensional fail-proof success system of the kingdom. Is it possible to actually live a life without failures? Is it possible to live a life in which you see success over and over again? Is that possible? Yes. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. That will be our anchor scripture that everything is built on, so it can actually become our anthem. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So, these 3 things explain to us the 3-dimensional fail-proof success system of the kingdom. So we're going to go through a couple of introductions, and then we'll take each of them one by one and we'll see them in a different light. So, what is success? What is success? Success happens when things go as planned. When things go as planned, then there is success. And when our expectations are met, then there is success. When we see expected result from a set of goals, then that is success. So without a goal, without some expectations, you may not really say you are expecting success. So success occurs when your expectations are met over anything you plan to do or you want to do. And then when things go as planned, then you can say, oh yes, that's success. Then expected result from a set of goals, that is success. Then what is failure? Because if you are talking about success, you're also talking about failure. Failure is the opposite of success, while success is the opposite of failure. What is failure? Unmet expectations. That is failure. When expectations are not met, then you can say, oh, that person has failed. For example, a father, God forbid, every father, every parent expects their children to succeed in one way or the other. So when that success doesn't happen, or the child is failing or not doing what they expect the child to do, then they can say that child has failed, or they have failed over the children, whatever the case is. So when expectations are not met, then you can say, oh, that's failure. For example, when you write an exam, your expectation is to have minimum C, B, or A. So if you don't have any of these things, then the person can say, oh, failure, or even D. By the time you start having something else, then the person is saying, oh, failure is what they are seeing here in this place, God forbid. So why do people fail? This is just a foundation for us to enjoy whatever we are learning today. Why do people fail? Lack of wisdom is number one reason why people fail. Lack of wisdom. When you don't know what to do in that particular area of life, then failure is imminent in that area of life. So lack of wisdom brings failure. Why do people fail? Lack of proper preparation. If somebody does not prepare enough for something, even if it doesn't fail totally, it may not have that expected success it's expecting. It may not have that success it's actually planning to have. Maybe the person actually wants to have top rated results, excellence. The person may end up with average because of lack of preparation. Why do people fail? Misfortune or lack of favor. For example, I'm sure maybe when you were in school, you've seen a lot of these things, that somebody will just fall sick in exam. The question is, why did he not fall sick before exam? Why did he not fall sick after exam? Why must he be doing that exam that he must pass? Somebody has failed something before and is trying to rewrite the course and then now falls sick and fails again. Why must it be that day? Misfortune can bring failure. Then why do people fail? Demonic operations. Every other thing may look right, but when demons have come to play in that area of life, that person expects failure. So demonic operations can bring about failure. Why do people fail? Unforeseen circumstances, things you didn't plan, things you didn't expect. This is also related to misfortune. Like you are planning, oh, this is how the thing will go. You've planned everything, but for some reason, you just didn't see that missing point. Unforeseen circumstances can bring failure. Why do people fail? Lack of mentorship. When somebody doesn't go through mentorship, everything may be right. He may have applied his own wisdom, he may have done everything right, but because he didn't go through mentorship, especially in that area of life, the person may experience failure. Why do people fail? When people miss their times and seasons, the Bible says there's a time and season. Time, season for every purpose. Time for everything. Season for everything under the earth. So, if you miss your time and season, the person may experience failure. For example, let's even use a natural example now. Let's say you want to pick a train or you have a flight to get onto. The flight is for 10 p.m. and you are getting there by 11 p.m. And you are supposed to go and do something where you are going. You have missed it. Missing times and seasons. And the funniest thing is, yes, we have related this to flight, but that's how many things in life actually are. There are things that you must do at the right time. There are things that just must be done right now. Please listen to the episode on times and seasons. It's really, really explained this. We did an episode on time and season. Please listen to that. Times and seasons. Some things just have to be done at the time they have to be done. So if they are not done at that time, failure may come. Please note, this is just the foundation to what we are learning today. Then, wrong step at the right time or right step at the wrong time can bring about failure. Why do people fail? Taking the wrong step at the right time or taking the right step at the wrong time. Any of these will still bring failure. Why do people fail? Mistakes. Wrong steps. There are things that they are just mistakes. You didn't know, that is why you made a mistake. But because the mistake does not mean it will bring success. No. If it's a mistake, it may still lead to failure. So, people fail because of these reasons. And also, we have an episode on that talks about reasons people fail and how to avoid them. I think it's a series also. Please listen to them on the website. Today, we have gone through what is success, we've gone through what is failure, and then reasons people fail. And then, what is a system? What is a system? Remember, the topic still remains how to never fail again. Unveiling the three-dimensional fear-proof success system of the kingdom. What is a system? Wikipedia defines it as this. A system is a group of interacting or interrelated elements that act according to a set of rules to form a unified whole. Yes, big grammar, but let's just simplify it. In our body, we have a set of systems that bring about different things. For example, we have the digestive system, we have the reproductive system. We have different forms of systems. Now, the digestive system will comprise a lot of things. How does it work? From the time you chew your food, it mixes with saliva, goes through your esophagus, goes down, goes to your stomach from one place to another, begins to explain different things by different reasons. Then we have different parts of the body that are just systems. Now, if one part of this system fails, whatever it is, will not work again. The brain begins to work with all these parts of the body to make sure they bring about success. Now, A system includes different things. If you see success as a one-time thing, that you just take an action and success will come. You just need to do one thing and then you have the result you expect. Then the person is getting set for failure. Success is a system that comprises of different things. Different things make up success. Every Christian must know this. Some Christians will just think it's only by prayer. Let me just pray, success will come. You are right. The only thing is, you are not completely right, because it's not just about prayer. Somebody else will say, hey, don't tell me about prayer. I'll pray for something else. I'll pray for sickness, but when it comes to succeeding or making money or doing well in business, it is hard work. Let me just work. You are not wrong. You are just not completely right also. So there are many things that make up success. It's a system that comprises of different organs, so to say. Just like different organs make up systems. There's respiratory system, reproductive system, like I mentioned before, digestive system. So there are different organs that make up these systems. The same thing in success. Your success in academics, even though it's about reading, it's not just limited to reading. There are people that read and don't understand. I've experienced it before. When I was in school, I met this guy. He will go out in the morning to return maybe at night. He will read. But guess what? When we are seeing results, failure. Almost total failure is what he will have. And me then, most times I may not even read before exam. Just be doing different things, go to church, go and learn how to play music, go to finance department. I was just doing different things. But when exam comes, 1 week, I'm ready. Exam tomorrow, I've not read that book before. I will read it today and I will still pass. And the guy said, Femi, I don't understand. I read. I fail. You just read a little and pass a lot. How do you do it? Now, it's not about me today, but I'm just trying to say that even though it's academics, it's not just about reading. Of course, knowing how things work for you, how you understand, how you assimilate, the Spirit of God, the power of God, those things still form part of the success. Yes. So, what is a system? That's what brought us to that explanation. So, a system is a group of interacting and interrelated elements that act according to a set of rules to form a unified whole. Now, we are getting closer. Let's now go to the topic of today. Like I said, we do introduction and take part of the topic. Going back to our scripture today, Luke 2:52, that says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." This defines and tells us exactly the secret behind Jesus' success. Jesus had wisdom. Jesus grew in stature. Jesus grew in favor with God and men. These three things form the three-dimensional success system we'll be looking at over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Number one is wisdom. That wisdom talks about you, but it doesn't have to do with what you do, so to say. It has, but not really. Wisdom, that means the ability for you to be able to discern and to do what is right. Then, stature is talking about your core responsibilities in that part of the success you want to achieve. Stature meaning that, okay, for example, for you to grow, you need to eat. That is talking about responsibility. Responsibility to eat and to grow. Everything you want to do on it will require a form of responsibility from you. Then the last part is talking about favor with God and men. So favor with God is talking about that part that you don't really have direct influence on. Yes, there are things you do to experience favor from God. But now we are saying that this part of success is not what you are going to do. It's what others will do. If as a believer you think you can succeed without God, the person is in for a huge surprise. There is favor with God that will bring success. Then there is favor with men. If somebody thinks, all I need is God, all I need is myself, and that's it, the person is also in for a surprise. Because there is a man factor. There is a God factor. There is a man factor. So, what is wisdom? So, today we'll be dwelling on wisdom. Then next week we'll be talking about the stature part. And then we'll be talking later about favor with God and men. So three things: wisdom, stature, and then favor. So today we are talking about wisdom. What is wisdom? The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. One place it says beginning of wisdom, another place it says beginning of knowledge. So the fear of God is the opening door, is the one that opens the door to the world of wisdom. Wisdom is a world in itself. If you read the book of Proverbs, you're going to understand how much a world wisdom is. It's a world. That means you don't just get there and say, oh, you've gotten wisdom. No, it's a journey that keeps growing and growing. The Bible says Jesus grew. If Jesus grew in wisdom, you need to grow in wisdom. It says he increased or grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. That means all these things were increasing and increasing and increasing. Whatever you have now in life, it may just be your level of wisdom that is just limited. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. It's not even the middle, like most people will make us understand. The fear of God opens you to a world of wisdom, but it is not the end. There are still other things in wisdom that will make you enjoy wisdom. So the fear of God opens you, then other things are still there. So we must understand that wisdom has many parts. Number one, the first part of wisdom that really shows that you are wise is that you must have the fear of God. The fear of God. Then number two, you have discernment. Most people, the way they define wisdom is discernment. What is discernment? Knowing the difference between right and wrong. Knowing what to do at the right time. Knowing where to be at the right time. Knowing where to go at the right time. That's discernment. If you define wisdom as discernment, you are right. The only issue is that you are not completely right, because it's just part of wisdom. Then the Bible also tells us, the first thing is fear of God. If you fear God, it already shows that you are wise. Because a fool says in his heart, there is no God. So you are in your journey to wisdom. Then number two, you begin to have discernment. You know the difference between things, between people, between places. You know the job to take, you know the job not to take. You know the place to go, you know the place not to go. You know the friends to have, you know the friends not to have. So discernment is the next part of wisdom. And then action is the other part of wisdom. So if you define wisdom as the fear of God, you are right, but it's not everything. If you define it as discernment, you are right, but it's not everything. If you define it as doing the right thing at the right time, you are right, but it's not everything. But these three things must be in place for you to really call yourself a wise person. And they must grow per time. So having the fear of God, discerning between things or between people, and then taking action. So if, for example, somebody has the fear of God, somebody has discernment, but when it comes to taking the right step at the right time or not doing the wrong thing, the person refuses to take action, the person is still not wise. The person is still a fool. So Jesus said, I would liken a wise man to a man who hears these words of mine and goes ahead to practice them. He said, that is a wise man. Not just hearing and discerning the right thing and the wrong thing. Not just fearing God and say, oh, you pray, you do all that, you walk in righteousness. It's not enough. But when you now take the right steps to do what you're supposed to do at the right time, whether it's directly related to righteousness or it's directly related to your job or life or family, then you are a wise person. The Bible also says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So wisdom is the first thing. That's why the Bible mentions that Jesus grew in wisdom. The first thing. He had the fear of God, he had discernment, and he was able to do the right thing at the right time. Wisdom. Remember, we are still talking about the three-dimensional success system of the kingdom. Wisdom. How do you grow in wisdom? Number one, you grow by the fear of God. Joseph, Job, Daniel, all these people exhibited unusual wisdom. But how did they grow? They grew by the fear of God. They first had the fear of God in their heart. Without the fear of God, you can't even access that realm of wisdom we are talking about. So you must have the fear of God in your heart. Then you can access wisdom. Then number two, knowledge. Wisdom is not separated from knowledge. In fact, some people define wisdom as right application of knowledge. So if you lack knowledge, how can you apply it? If you don't read, you don't study, you don't study the Bible, you don't read books, you don't learn more, you don't watch videos in your field. Remember, we are talking about success, and it's not just success in having money, it's success in every area of life. So for example, in your business, you are not doing anything to grow better, to learn from people who have succeeded, to learn new things, as they come out? Because the reason why some people have failed is because they have neglected the new innovations in their field of endeavor. That's the reason why they have failed. For example, somebody used to type with typewriter. He says, no, typewriter, and I like the sound. That's what I want to do. No. Don't disturb in computer. Go and check them today. They are out of business. And even if they are doing anything, maybe in Ikeja, that court area where they still use typewriter, I don't know if they still use it. Maybe that's where they are typing every day. But you can't grow like that. You can't expand like that if you neglect the new things in your field. Knowledge is important. How do you grow in wisdom? You grow in wisdom by the fear of God, by knowledge. Who are the people that grew in knowledge in the Bible? Daniel grew in knowledge. Jesus grew in knowledge. Paul grew in knowledge. David grew in knowledge. All these people that I mentioned, go and check their lives. They were always given to knowledge over and over and over again. David said, I was going to compare my life with the unbelievers. These unbelievers, they are just excelling. Everything is fine with them. He said when he got to the house of God, he said he was able to know and get the knowledge that, oh, their end will not be good. So I stayed in my lane of righteousness. So he was able to grow in his wisdom by knowledge. Daniel, he said, I understood by books. Paul also, bring my books, bring my parchments. He was always growing and learning. And when I say knowledge, it's not just the word of God. The word of God, number one, that will help you with the fear of God and all that wisdom, yes. But knowledge, emotional knowledge, intellectual knowledge, mental knowledge, different kind of knowledge that you need to have. Even the knowledge of how to relate with people, many of us need to learn it. Especially if you are the wrong one at first, you have to relearn. Even political knowledge, how to deal with people in a political area. And for some people, their own policies is in church. So many policies that go on in church. You need to have the knowledge of how to deal with different things. How do you grow in wisdom? We've mentioned the fear of God, knowledge. Then by prayer and fasting. Daniel in the Bible, he was faced with a difficult task. It was a death sentence looming on them if they didn't have a solution. What did he do with his friend? They fasted and prayed. And it was revealed to them. They got a discernment and they acted right and they were able to excel. Prayer and fasting. And then, you know, remember I mentioned that the fear of God is the entrance to this world of wisdom. Daniel, he and his friends, when others were eating fat, they fasted. They didn't eat like everybody else. And they enter to the realm of wisdom. But that was not all. They got to this place of prayer and fasting. And they continued to grow and grow and grow. Jesus came to the world as God personified. And yet, Jesus had to fast 40 days and 40 nights. If you want the realm of wisdom that is unusual, you must be given to continuous prayer and fasting. Remember, we are dealing with the kingdom. So this is not talking to unbelievers. The kingdom of God is what we are talking about here. Then how do you grow in wisdom? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit we have is not just for speaking in tongues. If you know what is behind even the speaking in tongues alone, you'll be shocked. Many of us, maybe today, all you need to do is just, after speaking in tongues, tell the Holy Spirit, interpret what I just said to me. Or you are faced with a difficult situation and you need that wisdom. That wisdom is lacking at the moment. You are saying, God, I need a solution. Begin to pray in tongues and begin to expect the result. You'll be shocked at how much clarity you're going to have about that area of life. So the Holy Spirit gives us access to unusual wisdom. It helps us to grow in wisdom. Paul, full of wisdom, spoke in tongues more than everyone else. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. And then he began to exhibit unusual wisdom. Wrote like, is it 2/3 of the New Testament? That's unusual wisdom. Someone that didn't meet Jesus physically now had more wisdom about Jesus than those who even lived with him for 3.5 years. To the extent that Peter said, many of the things he said, we don't understand. We know they are hard to understand. So they just flew along because there's unusual wisdom at work in him. Holy Spirit. Then Daniel, even the unbelievers recognized in his life. They said the spirit of the Holy God are upon him. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. The apostles, Peter. See, did you notice Peter's preaching after the Holy Spirit came on them? Imagine somebody narrating the whole story of the Israelites from like Abraham to the end, to where they were. He narrated them step by step, neatly. Man, that's the wisdom of God at work. Then, how do you grow in wisdom? Laying on of hands, impartation. See, many people, the only reason they have never succeeded is because they are too proud to subject themselves to others to impact them. I can tell you several things in my life that came to play in my life by reason of me just desiring these things in the life of people. They didn't pray for me, I just desired them, and I started seeing myself operating these things. Many of us, the reason why we are not operating in some things is because maybe it's pride. You're just like, no, I don't want to talk to that person. Whereas this person you are not talking to is the secret behind the success you need to have. I've shared this several times over and over again, that the reason I'm where I am today, by God's grace, is because of one person that I should have pushed away in my life, and I would have probably pushed away my destiny. It's about how many years now? It happened the same month for that person. So, laying on of hands impartation can lead to growth in wisdom. And then what else? Similar to it, mentorship. When you are mentored, when you are guided, you can grow in wisdom. So today, we've been able to successfully talk about the first part of the three-dimensional success system of the kingdom. Wisdom. Not just wisdom, growing in wisdom. It's not just about wisdom. It's about growing in wisdom. So wherever you are now, if you want to grow beyond that realm, you need to grow in wisdom. Check yourself. Wherever I am, I need to grow beyond this level by wisdom. And how do you grow? We've mentioned it, the fear of God. If you are wallowing in sin or some things are just there, you're not doing right, fear of God, bring it back. And how do you measure the fear of God? Your actions, just check your actions. Are they in line with the will of God? Then knowledge, increase your knowledge, read more. Google is your friend, use it. Prayer and fasting. The Holy Spirit in you, like I said, is not just about speaking in tongues. It's about you having access to the deep things of God that the people of the world will not have access to. And then laying on of hands. Don't miss it when you have the opportunity. Then mentorship. Let people mentor you. I know the growth I've had within like 2 weeks when I just subjected myself to mentorship in business. Like, my hands are just open to things I've not seen for years. I'm talking about years. In fact, what am I saying? Within one day of meeting one person, a lot of things changed. I was able to get things I didn't get before. I was able to do things I didn't do before. Meeting one person one day. These things that look normal. I'm not talking about spiritual things now. Business. So, I just want to encourage everyone today that if you want a fail-proof life, engage in growth in wisdom. Praise God. Next week, we're going to be talking about stature. What does this stature mean? What is this talking about? Stature, what is it talking about? So, I want to encourage us not to miss it next week. And I also pray that even as we attend, we all be blessed in the name of Jesus. And I pray that every one of us will experience unusual success as we begin to engage these secrets in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to call it a day again today. I hope we've all been blessed by the secrets of the kingdom that has been unveiled today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to learn again at your feet. Be exalted, be magnified in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, everyone will begin to experience unusual success this new week as we engage in growth and wisdom. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. See you next week and have a great week.
The good success has come.